It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to talk about Microsoft's quarterly report. It comes out, as always, right in the middle of the show. Also, lots of Windows news, Windows 8 news, RT. And yes, Paul has an inside look at Windows Surface Pro. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 296, recorded January 24th, 2013. Microsoft's Secret Power Broker. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Windows. And by Audible.com. To download the audiobook of your choice free, visit Audible.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that brings you the latest Windows news from the beautiful downtown Redmond, Washington. And here they are, the stars of our show, as far away as they could possibly get from Redmond. Paul Thurrott of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com.
You know, if you're studying a disease, you don't want to be right where the outbreak is.
They're over in Atlanta at the CDC right now. Yeah. Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com. Great to see you guys.
Great to see you, too.
Yes, and I had no trouble whatsoever logging into SkyDrive. I've solved my SkyDrive problems. I am a happy... You know, I have to say, I was reviewing an Acer Windows 8 machine and logged into, you know, my Microsoft account. And it's great because, you know, everything populates. And it's the same experience you get now with a Google phone or an iPhone where you've already got everything set up and the new one just sucks it down. But it's nice. I've never seen that before on a computer. It's a really nice feature, I think.
This is a stunningly different reaction than you had last week to Microsoft technology.
Oh, I still hate Windows 8. Don't get me wrong. In fact, the more
I use it... Don't get me wrong either. I'm happy to hear it.
The more I use it, the more baffled I am. I'll give you an example. I started a game that came with, some crapware game that came with the Acer, some bathtub ducky thing. And I'm playing it. And it's full screen. You know, it's a Metro app. So I know how to get out of Metro apps. You press the Windows key or you swipe out of it. So I swipe out of it and I start doing something else. And the music from the game, it's quiet. And all of a sudden, the music from the game starts playing loudly.
You want to know why that's ironic?
Why?
I get a lot of email from people that start music playing the Xbox music app and then want to go to something else. And when they do, the music stops.
Well, my point exactly. It's unpredictable. And I guess there is a way to quit Metro apps, but I couldn't figure it out.
I just wrote a tip about that, Leo.
You shouldn't have to tip people.
Somebody said, obviously, Windows 8 is so excellent because you had to write a tip telling them how to stop,
shut down
the apps. But in my defense, it was the 60th tip that I wrote. So it wasn't like near the top of the list.
Yeah. You swipe down from the top of the screen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. Nothing happened. But anyway.
All right.
I don't remember how I got to stop. I think I turned the sound off.
Shut it off.
Shut it down. But anyway, I'm not here to complain. I'm here to listen to you complain.
Okay. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Acer picked up Packard Bell's PC business.
Oh, wow.
That company went out of business. Does that sound right?
Could be. Packard Bell was an imaginary company anyway.
It was a
Taiwanese company that bought the name of the old radio company.
And I think there was neck investment in there, NEC.
And they were crappy computers.
Yes, they were.
Now, Acer...
Or was that E-Machines? Maybe I'm thinking of E-Machines. E-Machines was bought by Gateway.
E-Machines was bought by Gateway.
But Gateway is... Are they still around? No, I guess they are still around.
Oh, yeah. Acer bought Gateway.
Are they owned by Acer? Hey, sir, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
And by the way, Microsoft's about to buy Dell, so it's just going to all...
I have a hard time telling the crap apart.
Actually, it's interesting because Acer does make a beautiful Ultrabook. It's kind of white, pearl white.
Oh, by the way, I should be clear. I was talking about eMachines and Packer Bell. I actually think Acer makes nice computers.
Yeah, this one was kind of the Aspire M was kind of middle of the road. It's an $800 computer, but it worked, yeah. You know, and it was a touch screen. Yeah. I think everything should be touch screen nowadays. Anyway, but that's not what we're here for again. You might wonder, what the hell are we here for? We're here for a fight.
I was literally just wondering.
We're here for a battle. It's the battle to the finish between Surface RT and Surface Pro.
I did it wrong. No, I did it right now. I got it wrong this way. I can't do it right because I'm too old.
Where is he facing? Wait a minute. Let me get out the Vuvuzela. Round one.
Mary Jo would kill me in a fight because she can probably outdrink me. And eventually I would just fall asleep.
But she has been building up her drinking muscles.
I have.
You don't want to mess with Mary Jane Foley. She's a master drinker now.
I had to tell a guy in basketball last night he couldn't laugh when I tried to play defense.
This is
a real-world problem when you're in your late 40s.
You're not allowed to laugh.
Like, you can silently mock me, but laughing out loud, not appreciated.
So, February 9th.
Is
the day we get, I mean to show you, is the day we get our Windows 8 Pro Surfaces, Surfi, mm-hmm. Surface Eye. You haven't played with one yet? Nobody?
No.
Nobody? Bueller? Anybody?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
That's okay.
You want to say anything about it? You met Mary Jo, you believe in the tablet.
Yeah, this is how we stumbled onto the idea for this episode this week. Because I wrote a post on my site defending the Surface RT and saying, even though I know a lot of people who are really excited about the Surface Pro and they can't wait to get the Surface Pro to give their RTs away or to trade up or whatever, I have no interest or intention to do that. And the reason is, for me, the Surface RT is working out just fine. You know, I talked about it being more of a companion device. It's not a replacement for my PC, but it really has worked out to do everything that I used to do with my iPad. And I actually donated my iPad at the end of last year to some of the people working to help the Hurricane Sandy victims. So I don't even have my iPad anymore. But I do basically everything I used to do on my iPad, I do on the Surface RT. And so I don't really feel a need for the Pro because I think the Pro isn't really even a tablet, even though Microsoft calls it a hybrid PC tablet. It's actually a PC, but it's not the kind of PC I want. If I'm going to buy a new Windows 8 PC, I want it to have really excellent battery life. And this is supposedly going to have somewhere around 4 to 5 hours of battery life. So it's just not acceptable to me.
It's like a regular laptop.
Even worse than my regular laptop, which is an Asus. I mean, when I bought this laptop new, it was getting like 9 to 10 hours of battery life.
Wow.
It's now getting about 4. So, no.
And what are you getting on your Surface RT?
Well, funny you ask, because I just posted about this today, too. So, I'm getting about 8 to 9 hours of battery life on it. Yeah. But what's very puzzling to me is I see a lot of people saying when they're not using the Surface RT and it's in like sleep mode or hibernate mode, they're not really consuming a lot of the battery. But mine is. So every time I shut mine down and then come back to it, the battery is like eaten away. And I can't really figure out why that's happening.
Yes, that tub, ducky game. Yeah,
that's it. That's it. Wordament.
Wordament won't stop.
8 to 9 is what I get as well.
That's what you want with a tablet.
It's good. Yeah, and you know, so then you don't have to carry your cord with you if you go out. Take it with you. Put it in your purse or merce if you're Paul.
Sorry.
I think
what just happened there. She's already. See what she just did? She just threw down right in the middle of a sentence.
I said merce.
She's already accusing you of some sort of strange effeminacy, Paul.
That is undeserved.
Undeserved, because you're more manly than most men. Certainly, you certainly make me just shrivel up.
Wow. So. Like a slug in the sun.
Wow.
So I think everything Mary Jo just said makes a lot of sense, Paul.
Except that it's wrong.
Okay. Why?
No, I'm just just, you know, she's right. I mean, I it's funny because the two devices are nearly identical from a form factor perspective. They both plug into the same keyboard covers. You know, they use a lot of the same accessories. They look almost exactly the same. But she is right that the Surface Pro is a PC, whereas the Surface RT is more of a companion device, like an iPad, you know. And but I think that that's the Surface Pro's biggest advantage. You know, the problem, of course, is that it's not going to get the 8 to 9 hours of battery life that you see with the Surface RT. It's going to get 5 hours of battery life. So it's not perfect. It's not, you know, if they could get this device to the point where it can get that kind of battery life, suddenly what you have is that kind of Nirvana device where it does everything that you want all in one device, which would be kind of cool. Unfortunately, because of the limitations of the battery life, it doesn't quite get there. But on the other hand, it runs Photoshop, it runs iTunes, you know, it runs all those apps that everyone wants to run. And maybe as important, it runs such things as Chrome with browser plugins. It runs all of the drivers for all of the devices that everyone is using today. Like, it actually works with everything. And it's not so, you know, a lot of people look at Surface RT, and I think Mary Jo might make this argument that, you know, it's that nice break with the past, which is fine, but I think you can achieve it with a Surface Pro and still have those few things you do need to get work done day to day now. You know, Mary Jo's computing requirements are pretty small. She uses Notepad to write, which is pretty incredible, but this thing runs.
That's a nice way to put it.
Great.
It's incredible.
He's being diplomatic.
Yeah. The original meaning.
It's fascinating, hard to believe. like a weird lemming type animal in a zoo that I've never seen before. But it looks familiar, but I don't quite get it. Yeah. You know. But no, I think that it's important because we don't live in the future. We live now, and there's just this stuff that I want to run now that I can't on Surface RT. I mean, you know, at some point we're going to cross over that divide.
I was thinking, are there apps I'm missing that I really can't live without? Win32 apps that I absolutely am dying because I don't have them on my Surface RT? The answer is no. There's
none.
Nothing.
Zero.
The only one I'd say I would love to see is Outlook because I really think the mail client is pretty horrible on the Surface RT. And I'd love to have the Zoom PC software back on the Surface as well, because I don't think Xbox Music is very good at this point. Other than those two, no.
Oh, both of those run in Surface Pro? Just a thought.
They do.
I will say one of the things that amazed me the most about the article that you wrote was that you said these two things sound amazingly contradictory, but obviously they're true, which is that you don't miss any legacy apps, which you just said. But the other bit that was in the article was you also don't really care for any Metro apps, that there are no killer, gotta have it Metro apps, right? So it's kind of a strange thing. It suggests that you can exist with what's on it for the most part. You know, that what it comes with is basically what you need.
Yep.
And that's basically Office.
Yeah, Office.
Not even Office.
And,
she uses Office.
Yeah, I don't really use Office that much. I mostly am the few apps that I like that are on there. What do I use that I really like?
It's like somebody who bought Windows 98 and only used the accessories.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It really
that one
is.
Was nice. That one came with Real Player, and that's all I need.
But you know what? I also did point out in the article that I think the reason I'm okay with how this is working out is even when I do try some of the apps, like say the New York Times app, that they have a Metro style app. I try that and then I contrast it with actually just using the website of the New York Times. The website's better to me, much better. So I don't really,
because the way my screen looks right now is it's faster,
easier to navigate. I don't know. I just find it way, it makes more sense to me for some reason. And it works better for me.
It works good. It works good in the browser with touch.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Even with touch, yeah, because you can make the page bigger and use it with touch. So what my screen has ended up looking like is I have a few Metro style apps, and then I have a ton of websites pinned to my screen. That's what my screen looks like.
I do the same thing, by the way.
And this is what Google's Chromebook is kind of aimed at. I suspect this is kind of a modern
Chromebook has the
experience.
Same problem as RT, though, which is that for those times when you do need that thing that isn't available, it's just not there. There's no possibility of it happening.
Right.
You know, and I find that to be too confining. You know, obviously Chromebooks are pretty cheap. You can get one for $250. It's amazing. But, I mean, honestly, a very low-end Windows 8 laptop with Chrome, you know, would be way better than a Chromebook, you know, because you could, it, everything works offline and you have that opportunity to download free or buy desktop applications, not to mention the Metro stuff that can go far beyond what's available just in the browser.
Well, I think that that's, you probably could say that, well, maybe that says more about you, Mary Jo, than it says about the hardware.
It does. It does. And, you know, I'm not a power user.
Yeah,
even
it's a particular
though
kind of user.
I am a very particular kind of user. I'm like more of an information worker, typical type user. And so, you know, if for as that kind of a person, somebody who works with words and manipulates numbers on a spreadsheet, does a little PowerPoint, you could use Windows RT and a Surface RT. I mean, it's not a stretch to say you could use that and not need a lot of the Win32 apps that people are counting on with the Surface Pro.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's the difference between us and the choices is because I tend to be a little bit more toward the power user end of the spectrum, and I do have some high-end apps that I need to run. You know, Visual Studio is installed on my desktop computer, Adobe Photoshop, you know, things like that. So I still need stuff like that. And, you know, again, there'll be a transition. I mean, Windows RT is going to get more powerful. The Metro apps are going to get better, and there'll be more of them. And these things will all evolve. And then, you know, a year from now, this discussion might be very different.
Mm-hmm. But that's the same. That's not a Surface conversation or even an RT conversation. That's a conversation about how people use computers. And there certainly were people who could use, you know, as I said, Windows 98 that way and say, hey, it comes with everything I need. And it didn't even come with Office. Yeah. Now, I mean, when you bundle Office in.
Sure. Well, I think bundling Office and RT was smart because it puts it over the top.
Oh, yeah. It does. It puts it over the top. That's exactly right. It makes it a very good deal for people who need Office.
You have to think that a huge percentage of the people that bought that thing couldn't have or wouldn't have if Office wasn't on there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Some fight. You guys promised me more than I thought.
Yeah,
I thought there'd be fisticuffs.
It was kind of
I don't
lame.
Like disagreeing with Mary Jo.
We actually, it's funny. We mostly do agree on this, I think.
Use it. I mean, it's like saying.
I don't see the use case for Surface Pro for somebody who is like me. But I agree. If you need Visual Studio or Photoshop or something like that, of course. I mean, but again, then I think you come into the evaluation where you say, do I really want a Surface Pro or do I want some other Windows 8 laptop? Because what's your advantage of Surface Pro?
I would submit that the real thing is if you want a desktop computer, you should get a Windows 7 machine. And if you want a tablet, you should get Windows RT, and that there really isn't a role for
I don't know. You know, this is true. This is going to sound a little contrived, but I've got a friend who asked me the other day, he wants to buy some kind of a Windows 8 tablet, and he understands that there are these tablets that you can plug and unplug the keyboard from. And I kind of probed him a little bit on what exactly it was he was looking for. Do you in fact want a tablet where you can remove that tablet, use it as a tablet, or do you want a laptop that has touch just on the screen, but the screen never comes off? And he said, no, I absolutely want the tablet. Because sometimes what I want to do is be commuting or on a plane and I want to watch a movie or play a game, but I want to clip it into something and be able to work on it too.
And he doesn't want a convertible. He wants something that's just kind of rip off the keyboard.
I said, you might want to look at the Surface Pro, you know. He didn't want to start. He knew, you know, he's not really into the computer industry, but he sort of had this notion that Surface RT was, I don't want to say the toy version, but, you know, kind of a constrained version. He somehow knew that there was something wrong with that. He didn't want that. And I said, you know, the new one's coming out and you should look at that. Maybe that is the machine. And then he said, actually, the other interesting thing he said, I don't want it to cost like $2,000. And I said, no, it's going to be $1,100 roughly when you factor in the keyboard. He's like, okay, perfect. That's fine. So, you know, some regular human being, I mean, he knows what I do, obviously, but he's not into computers or into the computer industry. And he had arrived on his own. This was the first time we ever talked about it, that this was the kind of thing he wanted, you know. And I think there is some benefit to that hybrid device functionality.
Can I ask a stupid
Do you really think, though, are you going to use your Surface Pro without the keyboard ever?
No. Ever?
Ever.
Ever?
No,
ever.
Probably not. No. In fact, I was just thinking about that. In other words, someday soon I will go on a trip, and assuming I have a Surface Pro by that point, am I going to travel just with that one device? And the answer is no, because of the battery life. If this thing got 8 to 10 hours of battery life, the answer might be yes, you know. But because it's not, so, I mean, so, you know, maybe I bring a Surface Pro and a Surface RT. I mean, that's like wacko land, you know. Yeah, that's something, not something, in the sense that, no normal person, I mean, I write about Microsoft stuff, so I'm going to have both. But that's not, I would never recommend that to people, nor expect any normal being to do that.
You'd only need one keyboard at least. That would be good.
I know, actually, that's not bad.
They both use the same keyboard?
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
Yeah. That's it. That's the selling point.
I'm waiting for that security line check-in question where the guy's like, all right, tell me why you have two of these.
Two tablets, one keyboard.
Yeah.
All right. I hate to ask this question. And I already asked in the chat room and I'm being
yelled at. This is why we're here.
But you're my experts. Would you say that if you don't like Metro and you want to use Windows 8 desktop, would you say it's superior to Windows 7 desktop?
Actually, I do find that it is.
In what ways?
So you could list through the features that are present in Windows 8 that are not in Windows 7 pretty quickly. You know, file history, storage spaces, the new task manager, the new version of Explorer, the far more efficient and performant version, you know, the file copy operations and so forth. I mean, that stuff is all much better than it was in Windows 7.
Okay.
But honestly, just in using it, sometimes it's the simplest thing in the world. And a lot of people may disagree with this, but I happen to find that the new opaque Windows style of the Explorer windows and all the application windows.
The lack of the glass, Aero Glass.
Yeah. Because I had used a Mac years and years ago, and I've always had Macs in the house, so I have an understanding of how they compare to Windows. Always have. When Microsoft started talking about and then finally did add these translucency effects to Windows in Windows, I knew that they were going to make a mistake that they did make, which was one that Apple made much earlier because they had done it much earlier in Mac OS X, which was to overdo it. That this was something that you kind of mature into. If you look at Mac OS X today, which you know because you use it, not a lot of transparency going on there anymore.
Yeah.
Right. That was kind of like a candy coating fun effect thing that we all thought we needed for some reason. And increasingly what you realize over time is that it's a gimmick.
Well, and you pay a performance penalty as well.
And battery life penalty as well.
And battery life.
Which is more and more important as we move to portable devices.
Right.
So I don't miss Aero and I prefer the way that Windows 8 looks. And to be honest, day to day, it's the look of the windows, which, you know, you stare at the screen all day long, combined with the much faster file copy performance, which I use all the time because I'm moving files between, well, around on the computer, but also to other computers.
One might say that actually the file copying was broken in previous versions of Windows. That's why they have
I will absolutely say that.
That's why they have the RoboCopy command, because they screwed up.
Right.
So they fixed it.
If Microsoft gets Windows right, someday, all of those utilities we've ever recommended over the years will all be obsolete.
Yeah. Okay. Because I think that's the bottom. That's going to be a selling point for a lot of people. Because a lot of people are just going to say, look, I'm going to use desktop. I'm a Windows user. I'm not a Metro user. And I'm going to use desktop.
As am I.
Yeah.
I mean.
And so the question would be, is there a compelling reason to go to Windows 8 desktop?
Unfortunately, yeah. So there's another side of the coin, which is, somebody was calling you on the radio, I guess, and saying, should I do this upgrade?
Yes.
And the truth is, most normal people shouldn't be doing in-place upgrades of Windows.
Anyway.
Period.
When you get a new computer. Yeah, I've always, you know what? I've been saying that for 10 years. Wait till you get a new computer. That's, you know, and that's
honestly,
one big difference between the Windows and Mac.
The question you're asking is, should I do this?
Yeah, don't.
You don't know enough to do it.
Yeah.
It's a little harsh.
That's a good point.
I mean, in other words, like a power user
won't ask.
Might question whether there was any value in it. But honestly, I think that, you know, any power user worth his salt would have just installed this just to experience it, regardless of whether he thought it was better or not.
Right.
A normal person, if they have to ask you, you know, is this something should I bother? Is it safe?
I'm gonna steal that from you. It's not safe. If you have to ask, you should not do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
But you guys remember, like, I've always been a real naysayer about Metro and the start screen and I don't know. But I have to say, on my Surface RT, I go to the desktop once every 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, because you're like using RT, a tablet. And a tablet, it makes sense to have a full screen experience.
Yep. But on my, I'm using a Windows 7 PC because, and I have no intention of upgrading this PC. It works perfectly the way it is, and I'm not messing with it. Yeah. So I think I represent the doesn't know enough user who is the majority user, right?
I agree.
It's the norm. That's definitely.
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So let's.
Yeah, I take the RT tablet out to the couch and you'll have TV on or something. And it, there is something about Metro works well when you're holding it. You know, all the controls are in the right place and, you know, flipping between applications is very natural. You kind of sit down in front of a real computer and do it, and it's it works, but it's just not the same.
It's a bad mismatch. It's an impedance mismatch between the device you're using and the operating system, I think. That's why I bemoan it, because it's the direction we're moving on the Mac side too, to full screen apps and swiping between apps and stuff. And on a desktop computer, it just doesn't make sense, especially on a big screen. You get to a 27-inch display, you don't want a full screen app.
Yeah.
Well, not at the movies here. So you have it says right here, Paul Thurrott has exclusive details about the Surface Pro.
Actually, it says Paul, not Paul Thurrott.
Well, I added Thurrott to give it more emphasis.
Sorry, that's the title. See, if someone said that to me on Twitter, I would have blocked them right there. So
you blocked me years ago. It's too late.
No, I have, I guess, off the top of my head, two pieces of information that you won't find anywhere else. And of course, I need to look those up because I don't remember one of them off the
top. I'll tell you
of my
one
head,
piece but of information. I'm very disappointed. I bought this new iMac. Mm-hmm. Boot Camp does not work with Windows 8 on this Fusion. I got the Fusion drive. It won't let me install Windows.
Oh, really? Oh, on the Fusion drive. Okay.
Yeah, because it's that weird hybrid drive.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
I'm sure they'll fix
software
it.
Software to work. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure they'll fix it. But the software's in the OS, and it's not in Windows.
So Microsoft gave some people a preview. Actually, the deal was if you went to CES, you could have gotten this preview. And I didn't go to CES, so they didn't give me the preview. But I have sources at Microsoft who've told me things about the Surface. So two of the things that people did not find out in their little hands-on, you can't take any photos experiences with the Surface Pro at CES is the battery life and also the processor. And so the battery life on Surface real world is about 5 hours, a little bit over 5 hours compared to 8 to 9 hours for Surface RT. And it's also the processor, which is important because a lot of people were wondering if Microsoft had waited until this time period so that they could have some next generation processor. And that was kind of the hope. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It's just a standard core i5 30. I got to read it because I can't remember this off the top of my head, but it's a 3317U CPU. So in other words, this is a core i5 processor that came out in May 2012. It's not new in any way. It doesn't have any special properties. If you buy a lot of the Windows 8 tablets or laptops that came out at Christmas time, that's the processor that's in them or something very close to that. I have a Samsung ATIV Smart PC Pro 700T that is almost identical from a hardware perspective to the Surface Pro. Slightly different processor, but roughly the same clock speed, same family and so forth. And so these are some of the things that people have been wondering about. Some of the things I can't tell you yet, and one of the other big questions I still get about this thing is whether it has WiDi, which is that Intel wireless display technology. And that I don't know. The chipset apparently does support it, so it's possible, but
really, there are actually people using WiDi.
No, they just want it. No, nobody's actually using it, Leo. That's ridiculous. That's crazy talk.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, no, nobody uses WiDi.
No, I didn't think so. No,
I don't think there's an instance of WiDi in use outside of Intel's laboratories. But I could be wrong.
WiDi is, what is it, kind of like DLNA where it lets you play the screen onto your TV?
Yeah, sure.
Basically. Is that,
That's the theory.
If anybody ever used it, we'd
because
know.
You know what we need in the PC world, Leo, is another way to display stuff on screens that doesn't work for anybody.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what we need. It's just so ridiculous.
Well, anyway, yes. It doesn't have it, so there. Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if it has it. That one,
it
I
might
don't.
Not. We don't know. Would you get a Surface Pro as opposed to the other stuff that's just about the same? Should I wait?
I can tell you that I am going to get a Surface Pro.
You're going to wait.
And my intention is to, I'm actually going to turn off my desktop for a while,
wow.
connect this thing to a USB 3,
wow.
you know, plug with the display and all that stuff, and connect my keyboard and mouse, everything to it, and really use the thing and see if that, you know, I'm going to do it for a while, not for, you know, 2 days or something. I'm going to just do this, and we'll see how it goes. I'm concerned about the battery life a little bit. I'm curious to see whether the fan noise kicks in at any time and is obnoxious. I've heard that that's not the case. You know, we'll see.
What would you... Okay, but if you... Okay. If, but let's say I wanted to buy one.
Oh, you want one.
But I didn't. But I just wanted the best Windows
8 If you want a representative
Pro,
Windows 8 laptop...
No, I want the best. Device. I want a great one.
I this might be it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, certainly they'll sell a lot of them because it's Microsoft, but it should be the best. It should be their
in
reference.
In other words, the best of it's a certain type of device.
It should
thing,
be
right?
the standard.
If you were going to get an actual, like, Ultrabook, I would say get a Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon, you know, Touch, whatever that's called. But as far as, like, an actual Windows 8 device that is a real PC and can clip onto keyboards and all that kind of stuff, I mean, yeah, I think this is it.
I already have borderline high blood pressure. I don't want to buy. I can't buy another Windows 8 device.
I think if I were gonna give a recommendation to someone, I would say wait and see if there's another Surface PC tablet that comes out in the next few months. I mean, I don't know if there will be, but I just wouldn't buy this one because of the battery life, like I keep saying, and I feel like maybe there is going to be one
trail or.
Yeah,
as well.
And a cell connection.
Obviously, in the fall, we might have a Haswell version.
Right.
Maybe that one gets 8 or 9 hours of battery life. That would be incredible. But, you know, it's now, so we'll see. But I mean, Microsoft did announce a 64-gigabyte version of the Surface RT without a keyboard, because currently you can only buy it with what? Is it a touch keyboard? Is that what it is? Not the type keyboard?
Type.
That's how they do it.
You can't buy it with a type?
Well, now you can buy one without. So the Surface Pros come with no keyboards. So you can choose the one you want. I think one of the issues they had with the RT was they kind of forced you to get one of the two keyboards when
no,
you bought it.
No, there was a way to get it without. It just made the keyboard more expensive. Made it more expensive.
Well, there was no way to get the 64 gig.
Oh, the 64 you couldn't.
Yeah, that was
right.
The
you had to get the black keyboard with it, right?
Yeah, and I cannot confirm this, and I want to be very clear about this. This is from a source I have no idea who it is and do not trust yet. But I have been told that... there is a version of the Surface coming in the spring that will have built-in broadband connectivity, wireless, you know, like cellular.
Like the ThinkPad does. The ThinkPad has AT&T 3G.
Yeah, 4G, no, actually.
Oh, yeah, LTE, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. That one I can't, again.
That's pretty cool. I have to say, to have a notebook with built-in 4G.
Yeah.
It's pretty
a lot
desirable.
Of people, you know, the people who don't think that's a big deal will say, just share your phone connection, you know.
It's not as fast. I keep saying that, but it's not as fast.
And it's not always something everyone has, too. I mean, sometimes the nice thing about the LTE add-on is it's pay-as-you-go, essentially. I mean, they make obviously, you can go month to month.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a big benefit because you may go on a trip once a year. That's when you would like to have it. You could buy some crazy amount of data. Whereas you don't want to pay for that every single month for 2 years straight. So there are advantages to having it on the device. My point all along has simply been that it should be an option.
You know, this is the strangest thing. I'm looking at the Windows 8, what I thought was the Windows 8 Lenovo ThinkPad at Carbon Ultrabook.
Mm-hmm.
And I scroll down, it says get it with a professional operating system, and it says Windows 7 professional.
So... there are two versions of this. Or this
I must have clicked the wrong button, huh?
This is like the non-touch version.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you remember that, you know, Lenovo is one of those companies that supplies PCs to businesses.
Yeah.
And
it says
so that's
up to Windows 8 Pro. I'm just very confused.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you could get Windows 8 on both. The point is, there's going to be there's a touch version of this.
But that's where the one
that
I want.
It's only going to have to come with Windows 8, that one.
Yeah. Obviously.
That's a beautiful version.
Yeah, it's tempting. And it's not, you know, well, I'll have to price it out here, but it doesn't look like it's hugely expensive.
You know what else I'm waiting to see is the rumored Nokia Windows 8 tablet.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Nokia.
Do you think they'll announce that at Mobile World Congress if they do it?
A lot of people think that.
Oh.
Which is very
soon. We're about a month away from that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is the Surface Pro 1366 by 768, or is it a higher res?
No, it's 1080p.
It is 1080. Oh, good.
Yep.
That's another reason to get it, for the higher resolution. I feel that the lower resolution of the RT is a little disappointing.
Well, I don't do this, but you can plug the RT into an external display and do 1920 by 1080 on that.
Of course, but then it's why didn't you buy a computer?
Yeah, the only thing I'd say to the resolution is that when you compare the Surface RT to the Surface Pro and you're in Metro, it's basically identical because Metro is somewhat resolution independent in the sense that the start screens are going to look identical. You're not going to see any difference at all. When you go into the Windows desktop, you're going to see a big difference, and it's actually going to be kind of negative on the larger resolution display because Windows does not scale well. The Windows desktop does not scale well. So in some ways, to be honest, you know, the lower resolution is kind of better on this for this small of a screen, you know, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Especially because of that clear type and all that. Actually, the type looks quite good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to compare. You know, once we can do a side-by-side, it'll be interesting to see. But I know as far as the start screen goes, they're identical.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a difference. Maybe inside of apps, you know, there's, depending on how the app is laid out, you know, there's the news app that's built in, for example, maybe there's more, you know, text on there by default or something like that. But it's not going to be a big difference.
So the difference, I could give you a comparison right here. Here's a left-right comparison. On the left, Paul at the higher resolution, Mary Jo.
Yeah, exactly.
At 1366 HD, by 768.
Yep. Facial blemishes and all.
And then and frozen.
She looks like a character from a ColecoVision game.
There will be, it says, a fix for the app updating issue. What's the app updating issue? I didn't even notice this in the RT.
This one is from Mary Jo. Maybe we should wait.
Let's see what's going on. Mary Jo, what's going on? Hello. Hello, Mary Jo. We're calling her. She did get a new modem.
Yep. Maybe it just needs to burn in.
It's it. That's it. I guess they'll probably edit this out. You know, they won't because nobody watches the show anymore. They just put a beginning and an end on it. No, you know, the editors just go.
Does it connect faster when you wiggle the window?
It's like a Polaroid. Shake it. Just shake it. It'll
Let's see.
We're going to have a Kickstarter project to get Mary Jo more bandwidth, says I hate ATM fees.
Well, she is on Skype. She's texting me. Yeah. I'll just tell you what she says.
Yeah, ask her. Ask her.
Yeah, Mary Jo, what's this about the the app updating issue?
Oh.
I don't want to take one of her stories.
There we go, Mary Jo.
Whatever just happened.
Courtesy Verizon.
I said to Leo, just ask me the questions you want to ask. I'll ask her, and then she can type them, and I'll tell you what she says.
Yeah, there you go.
I did a whole twit that way.
Did you?
I once dictated an article to my editor over the phone driving to the airport.
John C. Dvorak, Skype kept going out, so I just said, well, stay on IM, and I'll read anything you say like this.
Did you do it in his voice?
Yeah. Leo, that'll never work. That's a... Oh.
That sounds like the penguin from the Batman TV show.
So what is the app updating issue you're experiencing in Surface RT, MJ?
Yeah, so I'm actually not having this happen, but a number of people who applied the last batch of fixes that were part of Patch Tuesday, there was a firmware update for Surface RT in there, and there were a bunch of patches. After they applied them, they couldn't get Windows Update to work right, and they also reported... They would start downloading an app from the store, an app update, and then it would just get stuck in a loop. So some people said just restart and that fixes it, but Microsoft's acknowledging there's a problem. They're not saying from what created it exactly, but they're doing a patch, and it should be out the first week of February to fix this.
Next Patch Tuesday.
Next Patch Tuesday, yeah.
And... Weird new Surface accessories emerging, but no dock.
Yeah. Damn you, Microsoft. So they announced, you know, they have the type covers and the touch covers. The touch covers are the flat ones, right? Without, not the actual keys, like the, is that right? I always confuse these two for some reason. Well, assuming that what I just said is true, they released, are releasing three new versions of those. So in the same colors, so it's, you know, red and cyan and I don't know what the other color is, but white maybe. But they have patterns on them, kind of like those Zune originals that they used to put on the Zune devices. So sort of pointless, but I guess if people are into, you know, the fashion accessory look, that they've got that going for them. There's something called the Wedge Mouse Surface Edition. And so it's the same Wedge Mouse that they've had since last fall, but packaged for the Surface. And it doesn't look any different. It's not colored, you know, it's not, I don't know I mean, I have a Wedge Mouse here. I'm trying to imagine what could be different about it, you know, to make it match the Surface. And maybe it's colored slightly different or something. I don't know, but there's a Surface version of the Wedge Mouse. And so, you know, it's just kind of like we were kind of looking forward to some notion that there'll be like a docking base or something where you could do that thing where you can more elegantly drive a desktop monitor. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, we'd love that. Just so, you know, I get home, I put it in the dock, and it's all ready to go.
I mean, I talked
about nobody makes those anymore, though, do they really? I mean, I see a few.
Actually, yeah. So there's a Lenovo tablet. Yeah, I think it's called the ThinkPad Tablet 2 that has a really nice base. Yeah. And there are some others, but I think this is something Microsoft could do because, frankly, you know, this device plus that kind of a bay, and it has to be seamless. Like, you know, obviously you can plug in a USB cable or something like that, and that's okay. But, you know, ideally what this would do is you just slip it into the dock, it clicks and you go. And when you want to leave, you pull it out and you take it off and it works on the go. And I'd like to see, you know, this is an area where I think Microsoft could do a really nice job of innovating, but you know, so far they have shown no interest in doing at least that part of it. So
yeah, we lost Mary Jo again.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so we'll soldier on with a gaping
she says
hole.
That it must be Skype because her connection is good.
Okay. We'll have a rebooter machine if you're in contact with her.
Okay. I can, you want me to tell her to reboot?
Yeah. Tippity tip tap tap.
I can do that.
So if I wanted to buy a Windows machine, I didn't say what number. And I use let's say I like desktop. I don't want Metro. It's possible to just kind of, except for I don't mind the start screen. That's fine. It's possible for me to use it as a desktop computer like a Windows 7 computer and not.
This
really,
is I do this every day.
Yeah. You and I are old school. We want it that way.
Well, that's where all my apps are.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, right now, for example, this is not exactly a high-intensity multitasking environment, but I've got the Skype window clipped to one side of the screen. Right. I've got our notes in OneNote clipped to the other side.
I want Windows. I got a big screen. I don't want a little corridor on the left. I want Windows.
Yeah, I think of it as a gutter.
A gutter. I don't want the gutter. I want Windows. And so, but the point being that if that's how you operate, at least still in Windows 8, it may not be in Windows 9. I wouldn't be surprised
I forgot to mention, they dramatically improved the multi-monitor capabilities in Windows 8.
I did
as
hear
well.
That, yeah. And I
so
do
even
like
for,
that.
Yeah, for true power users, that's reason enough right
I
there.
I do like that, yeah. You know, it's so funny. I bought this steampunk laptop.
Yeah.
Ages ago. I mean, literally, it's almost 2 years now. And the problem is that he buys the laptop and then fabricates, you know, the wooden holder, and he's making stained glass and stuff. So it's a Windows 7 laptop.
Yeah.
By the time I get it,
Windows 9 is out.
Yeah, it's going to be really out of date. So we're switching to a different Skype for Mary Jo. We're going to try it.
Well, she's probably rebooting. So
where she's rebooting, and we're going to try a different machine on our end. And
Windows 7 laptops don't reboot in 6 seconds, so it might take her a few.
You know, that's why you need Windows 8. Another good reason, right?
Sure.
I guess if you're buying a steampunk laptop, complaining that it doesn't have the latest operating system is kind of silly.
Yeah.
It should really have a 19th century.
All you care
system.
About is that this thing can run BioShock.
Ooh, now we're talking. Now we're talking. I'm looking forward to getting this thing.
God, that looks like a keyboard from one of those early power books, you know,
yes, with the big metal keys. Yeah. Look at these.
Jeez. Wow. Those are like, okay. So those are like printing press.
Yeah. It's a letterpress key.
You know, the lead letters.
And it has a key that to unlock the machine, you wind the key. It's Captain Nemo's laptop.
What though? I bet the palm rests on that thing really work.
They're leather and yeah. They've got big studs on them.
Hmm.
They look like
just like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Yes. It looks like fine horseman.
It looks
tack.
Like some type of thing you'd see on the back of Chaps.
Or Queen. Anyway, I'm looking forward to getting this someday. He's they're handcrafted. Someday,
yeah.
But I'm telling you,
Windows 95 on it.
It should be DOS. But I presume that I could upgrade it. You know, maybe I'll just put Linux on it once I get it. You know, I mean, thanks. Really, seriously. Well, I mean, because who cares? That looks like a parallel port.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Oh, Lord. It'd be fun to bring this into a Best Buy and say, hey, I'm having trouble with my laptop.
Can I get some Geek Squad going on this?
I wonder if I could get somebody to work.
I clearly have no idea what I'm doing, so I'm thinking your services are perfect for me.
Can you fix wooden laptops, too?
Right. I find that the varnish color is a little darker than I was hoping. Is this a Geek Squad service?
Can you help me with that? All right. Well, let's move on, I guess. Mary Jo, we're going to get her back. We really got to get her a cable modem. I think this sets it.
Yeah.
This really sets it.
It says she's online, so let's see.
Sean J.S. in our chat room asks, what are the multi-monitor improvements in Windows 8? What makes Windows 8 better in a multi-monitor environment?
Oh, God. See, I don't even keep track of this stuff.
It is. Just take our word for it. It's better.
No, you don't take my word for it. It's, let me look at it.
Well, you know, if you went to something like, I don't know, the supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com.
I am going to the supersite for Windows.
There's probably a very detailed article.
There is. There's a Windows 8 feature focus, although this is probably from pre-release times, but...
Well, I'm sure it's the same.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a Metro style... Hold on, Mary Jo is pinging me. Okay, she's back. She says she's back.
Yeah, so you can call... for Mary Jo Foley!
From any Windows 8 PC, you can hit the Windows key plus P to bring up the new second screen panel, which is kind of a Metro interface. That's... You know, that's something you'll see even on a laptop, even if you don't have anything to connect to. It's just something that shows up. But I think the big deal is that they let you determine where the taskbar is if you have multiple screens, whether it's on all of them, whether it's on the right one or the left one and so forth. You can actually set this between reboots, but you can set it on the go to determine which of the screens has Metro on it. So if you want to bring up a Metro interface, you could have three screens. Two of them will have the desktop, and one will have the Metro. You can determine which of those screens.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. It's just, it's you know, I don't use multiple monitors, so when I have to write something like this, I have to connect another monitor and test stuff, but I don't actually, don't use multiple monitors. But
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tempted.
I can't tell you how many times in my life. I bet I do this 7 or 8 times a day, where I search Google and I type in some phrase.
Yeah.
And then I type site colon winsupersite.com.
Isn't that fun?
And then because I know I've written something about this, but I write so much I can't keep track of it. And the other one that I've run into is I'll do what you just said, which is you click on links in Google search and you're reading something and you're like, this sounds awfully familiar.
I remember writing this. Hey, yeah. while we're getting Mary Jo Foley back, let me talk about something from Citrix, ShareFile.com. This is a product I use all the time, so I feel like I have some expertise in the matter. I've tried them all. I don't want to name the names of all the competitors, but you know what they are. There are lots of ways people have tried for the last 10 years to solve the basic problem of how do I safely send files, sometimes very large files, to clients and colleagues. In my case, I'm sending large audio files out, but they might be, I don't know, AutoCAD drawings. They might be images. They might, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that you share with your clients and colleagues. Email is bad to do this with for a lot of reasons. You've heard me say many times, don't send email attachments. It's a great way to get infected, to spread infections. But also, if it's a large file, you're going to get bounce backs. There are still plenty of people, probably your clients, who still have mailboxes that can only handle total 10 megabytes. I mean, that's crazy. You couldn't even send them an image from my camera. That's very common still. So you can't send, you know, gigabyte files via email. It just takes too long, and it's just unreliable. And then there's the issue of everything you send via email is like a postcard. You know, when you mail it, you know, anybody along the way, and there are usually multiple servers along the way, can go, oh, look at that. Which means if you are in an industry like the medical business where you are governed by privacy requirements like HIPAA, you can't use email. Enter ShareFile from Citrix. It's actually a fairly new business for Citrix. They designed from the ground up the best way to share files with clients and colleagues. And I tell you, when I switched to ShareFile, I was so happy. First of all, notice this is my ShareFile page. It is a branded login. That's what you're going to see, but it's also what your ShareEs are going to see. They're not going to see the ShareFile logo. They're going to see your logo. So it's very very nice, very professional looking. You have a lot of ways to share files. Now, I also am running a desktop app from ShareFile that automatically will sync everything I do with ShareFile. I have ShareFile folders that are automatically synchronized up. I have folders for the different radio stations. And so I just drag files there, and they're automatically synchronized. But you can also use ShareFile via the web interface. This is really handy. If you have a one-off that you want to send, they have the file box. You just drag a file over to the file box, and then you can send it by clicking the send link. Now, you can either do it like email style, or give me a link I can copy and send using my own email software, and I like to do that. Because look at, and I always use this to show you, because look at the different features in here. I can have them email me when the item's been downloaded. I can require recipients to enter the name and email me before downloading. I can say when the file expires. And because I'm using the file box, I have only three choices. On the regular system, when you're using your own file system, you have anything from 1 day to 1 year, or, you know, not at all. I'll say it's going to expire after a day. I'm going to say unlimited downloads, but you could have anything from 1 to 10, and then send file. Now, what I'm going to get is a unique and very obscure link. I don't know how many letters and numbers that is, but it's a very obscure link. When I copy that to the clipboard, I can paste it in email, but I'll just paste it right in my browser here and show you what my customer is going to see. This, very simply, my company logo, the name of the file, and a download button. I can send a folder in the same way. They could pick the files from the folder or take the whole folder as a zip file. This is simple, easy. Even people who are not very technical can use this, and that's really one of the real features of this. I don't have to explain it. I've used other programs where you have to kind of explain how it all works, and it's just frustrating. And they often get it wrong. ShareFile, no problem at all. Almost unlimited file size. Working with others is easy. By the way, every file that I have automatically synced is available to me at any time as cloud storage, so I can log in with the ShareFile account or use the free ShareFile apps on my phones. Really recommend it to you if you are sending files to clients or colleagues in business. And I've got a 30-day trial for you. If you go to ShareFile.com, you'll see that button that says try it out. Click that. Actually, I want you to use the one in the top of the page where it says radio listeners. Click here. I know this is not a radio show, but they haven't figured that out yet. It should say podcast. But anyway, click that one and then enter our offer code Windows. And we're going to get you a 30-day free trial. That way, Paul and Mary Jo get credit for this. You can also select an industry. They customize it for a huge range of industries. Everything from photography, nonprofits, video, and medicine. And then you get your free trial. 30 days free when you go to ShareFile.com. Click the free trial button and use the offer code Windows. Do the button at the top of the screen, if you will. We thank Citrix for their support of all of our shows, and especially of Windows Weekly. All right, Mary Jo is back. We've decided, Mary Jo, we're buying you a cable modem. Seriously. This is not better. It's like worse.
I'd like to kill Skype, personally.
You know, people blame Skype, but I don't know. I think Skype's been good. If we find if somebody's got a really, like Paul, we rarely have problems, right, Paul?
True.
If you have a consistent bandwidth, it works great. And it's totally dependent on that. And what I think I have learned from doing this, you know, podcasting thing, from being an internet broadcaster, is the bandwidth that you are advertised, you never get. And even if you do get it, it's inconsistent. Internet access is much less consistent than people think it is. It goes up and down, fast and slow. If you're browsing or getting email, you don't even notice. If you're trying to do something like send live audio and video in real time, it's very challenging. Anyway, glad we got you back, Mary Jo.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to address this? Because I see it everywhere. PC sales, not great.
I don't think we need to beat it to death. I just wanted to mention that HP is the latest to say that Windows 8 sales, not so much that they weren't great, but they weren't as good as what they had expected.
Do you think it'll ramp up? That it's just a matter of momentum, and it's like a choo-choo train leading the station. It's slow at first, but it's going to...
I honestly have no idea. I'm nervous that the market for traditional PCs has...
That's really what's going on. If you looked at Apple's, if you looked at Apple's Mac sales figures... Same thing. They're down.
They talked about that on the call. They said basically, look, you know, the market for traditional PCs is down. We're seeing that too. You know.
Everywhere. It's not the OS.
No, I think people hang on to these things more. And all the excitement, you know, such as it is when it comes to buying things, is around gadgets, you know, tablets and phones. And a lot of these things, which, you know, Microsoft does not target this market yet, are these low-end tablets that are typically 7 or 8 inches and cost as little as $150 or maybe as much as $350. And, you know, it's easier to snap those kind of things up and keep a PC around a year or two longer, which maybe you wouldn't have done 10 years ago.
Right. Well, and that's another side effect of the great success of the PC industry is that the one you bought 3 years ago isn't particularly obsolete.
Well, actually, I would say, you know, Microsoft, it's funny because this goes against the grain of their own success, but this is the second version of Windows in a row where they had never done this before in the past that has lower hardware requirements than the one that came before it.
Not higher, lower.
Yeah, not the same, but lower. Yeah. And, you know, when you do that, it's something that you can kind of applaud from a technical level, but what that also means is that if you have a PC that's 5 years old, it's going to run Windows 8 just fine. It's not going to multi-touch, obviously, but... it's kind of a weird issue, but you know, there it is.
It's one of the reasons why probably touch exists, because you got to have something.
I think, absolutely. That's the reason why someone would go buy a new device.
Right. It's the same thing in TVs. People weren't, you know, everybody who wanted an HDTV had bought one, so they made up something, a 3D.
Sure.
And now 4K. They'll find a way. Is it why Dell is trying to go private?
Actually, you know, I don't know. Did we talk about this? I can't remember.
No, this is a story that just came out this week.
But I don't mean Dell specifically, but this notion that, you know, one of the weird things about publicly held companies is that they have to exhibit growth.
Right.
Right? You can't hit some amount of money and say, hey, we're done. You know,
look at Apple. Apple's such a good example. Apple had a record quarter and the stock price plummeted.
Yeah, actually, I can explain why that happened if you're curious. But but more to the point, it's just the way that Wall Street is. You know, when you're publicly held, every quarter, growth.
What have
growth,
you done for growth. Me lately? Yeah.
Yeah. When you can't exhibit growth that is from the same quarter a year ago, you'll try to make lemonade a little bit and say, well, we have growth over the previous quarter, even though that's not actually how things are measured.
Right.
I think what Dell is trying to do is get off of that treadmill and say, you know, we have a good business here. We don't have to be subject to the whims of Wall Street. We can just keep making money and be successful and stay in business.
You know? That's exactly why I'm not public, and I don't take investors. I don't want that pressure. I want to just...
It's something I've never understood, you know, because unfortunately, stock prices and the stock market, and it's black magic as far as I'm concerned. There's no
rationale for that money.
I didn't look this up, but I saw in passing... There was a story I read a story about Netflix today. Apparently Netflix posted better than expected results.
Yeah. 40,
you know, they made a couple million dollars.
40% gain.
What's their stock price, Leo?
It's up 40%.
What's their stock price?
I'll have to look.
I believe it's over $100.
Wow.
What's Microsoft's stock price?
What is it? 5?
27?
26. No, seriously, are you trying to tell me that Netflix
Netflix is $146 bucks up $143 today.
Okay, so it was 100 then. Okay, yeah. I had 100.
It's up $43 today.
Microsoft is probably up 43 cents today.
Yeah.
You know?
That is amazing.
Or
down 43, whatever. But I mean, you see what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
yeah. Really, so look up Microsoft.
Yeah.
Actually, Microsoft stock will be interesting today because they're going to post their results soon.
$27.88 up.
27 cents. Yep. And tell me that makes sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is the what sometimes people look at is price to earnings. And the price to earnings for Microsoft, $15. The price to for earnings of Apple is now $10. Price to earnings of, I wonder what Netflix is.
$1,000.
$500. You weren't off by very much.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, that's my point. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Apple is one of the biggest companies in the world. They make a lot of money, and they're doing great. So,
Facebook's is even less than Netflix. Facebook's is only $288.
Netflix,
$500. Price to earnings. You know what? I don't think they got that big a future.
I don't either.
Unbelievable. That's why it really is what the stock market is doing shouldn't be news from a technical point of view, from the kind of range that we talk about. But you can't help but talk about it because it's such an amazing thing.
Oh, no, you have to. Of course. It's part of the deal. I mean, at some point, these companies decided to go public so that they could grow.
Right.
Beyond what would have been possible if they'd, you know.
You know what Amazon's price to earning is? $3,854.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I've never seen one that high. That's astounding. That's just astounding.
But, you know, for our listeners, everybody's like, okay, so why would Microsoft want to invest in Dell?
Yes. Like, Microsoft has said we want to take a $2 billion. Dell wants to go private, which I understand. They want to buy back their stock. Yep.
Why would Microsoft invest in the Nook?
Here's
why
the risk.
Why would Microsoft invest in Nokia?
But that's different. Yep. Dell's a PC manufacturer. Yes, because Dell's a PC manufacturer. You already pissed off the OEMs by making Surface. Now you're going to be an OEM?
I know. Well, they did this with Nokia, too, right? Like, they have a special relationship with Nokia, and everybody was saying, oh, that's it. None of the other phone OEMs are going to like that. But nothing's really happened because of it.
No, right? That's a good point.
And actually, Michael Dell is one of the few, well, maybe not one of the few, but one of the guys who's come out and said, look, Steve Ballmer told me what they were doing. It doesn't change our relationship in the slightest. It makes Windows better. Great. We're all for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, as some people are saying, okay, so would Dell become the manufacturing arm for Microsoft Surface? I don't see that as being
no.
What happens next. But I mean, these days you can't say never, right?
Never say never.
Never say never.
Yeah.
So by the way, this just in, I'm told that the Wedge Mouse Surface Edition,
oh boy,
is the same color as Surface. That's the difference.
Ooh.
Ah. So that's why it's new.
That's why it's $65.
Is it more?
No, I don't know, but that's how much it costs.
Yeah. Have you used the Wedge Mouse?
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, it's not ergonomic.
remember the hockey puck mouse that they had on the first iMac?
Another unergonomic design. Yeah.
It's roughly that quality level for a mouse. You know?
So Microsoft's investment in Dell, you don't see it as a problem for Microsoft and their relationship with OEMs.
You know what? If anything, so imagine you're HP or you're Acer or Asus, so one of the other companies that partners with Microsoft and PCs, and you're looking at this from the outside. I don't think that what you're saying is, hey, can we get $1 billion to $3 billion worth of investment from you too? It's good for you showing that you still care about this ecosystem that's important and you are not just doing your own thing, you know, that you're helping a company that has dedicated its business to basically reselling one of your big products. I mean, it's one of the, you know, Dell is one of the biggest companies that sells Windows and Windows Server too, for that matter. So I think it's just a positive move for the ecosystem. You know, if it had come out that Dell went to Microsoft and said, hey, if you invest in us, we can go, you know, private and we'll be in great shape for the future. And Microsoft said no. That would have been a chilling message for the rest of the
PC industry. It's an investment in the PC business, we believe.
By the way, Microsoft once invested in Apple, too.
$100 million, not $2 billion. A smaller investment, but they did.
Yeah. Now, smaller, but similar non-voting. You know, like, well, they got non-voting shares in Apple, and in this case, they're not going to be involved in the day-to-day operation of the company.
Dvorak, in his column in PC Magazine, says this is good for PC buyers. Mm-hmm. First of all, that Microsoft would be able to use Dell's big factories in China to manufacture Microsoft gear as well. They don't have to worry about Dell getting irked by channel conflict. And he says Microsoft knows that the public is at the end of its rope regarding Windows and the near impossibility of keeping a system running trouble-free. I'm quoting, third-party machines running Windows allow anything and everything to be installed. We're talking about the signature PC, basically. Yeah. With a Microsoft-branded PC or laptop, you at least get a reference standard Windows
machine. So I wasn't sure what he was going to say, but I was going to add at the end that one thing that should come out of this, if Ballmer has any business acumen, is we'll do this. We'll give you $3 billion.
But
stop putting crapware on your PCs.
Stop putting crapware on the PCs.
No, seriously.
I agree 100%. And you know what? Dell would become the gold standard.
I don't see why they shouldn't.
You know, even if it's okay, let's say it's $100 more a machine, Dell would become the gold standard.
It can't be $100. We got to be talking about like $7 to $17 or something. Right. It can't be that much. It can't.
Well, then you multiply by two because of the markup and all of that. It probably is $50 a machine.
God, I hope not. I really hope it's not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the other
question is, could Microsoft say to Dell, hey, we don't want you to put crapware on there. And you know what? We don't want you to make any Chromebooks and no Android and Right. How about that?
Actually, that's one of the things that was rumored was, you know, one of the agreements was they will rely primarily on Windows, you know.
Right.
You know, Bloomberg, I don't know where they got the brilliant idea. They interviewed the Dell dude, Ben Curtis. Yeah.
And is he dating that girl from the Apple switcher ad?
Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be great.
So the Dell dude says, you know, it's really simple. I can fix Dell. Bring me back. Dude, you're getting a Dell.
We should bring him back.
Bring back the Dell dude. Dude, you're getting a Surface. He says, I think they're making a huge mistake.
By the way, you're laughing at this, okay? But
it could happen.
20 years ago, I guess now, or 18 years ago, there was a story just like that that said Steve Jobs says he can save Apple. And oh, how we laughed. You know,
the Dell dude.
As he was driving next into the ground, he was claiming that he was going to be able to save Apple. Remember? We all thought that was the stupidest thing we've ever heard.
It's kind of a good move.
Maybe the Dell dude is just as smart as Steve Jobs. We'll never know.
He says, I think they're making a huge mistake. They simply need to bring back the Dell dude. That's it. That's all they need to do. Like, if they brought me back, their sales stock and media presence would skyrocket. This is by far the smartest move they could make. So
it's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
It is. You realize the reason he was fired is he was arrested in 2003 trying to buy marijuana in a kilt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
But to me, that speaks to the demographic, you know.
I think it's actually kind of a cool idea. There's a nostalgia factor that would. The problem is Dell is not trying to sell to 19-year-olds. Maybe for the Alienware brand, they could do that. They're trying to sell to CTOs and CIOs.
Hey, they were one of the companies that I hate to use the term innovated, if you will, with colored panels on their laptops. They were always very, probably still are. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it was started in a college, Michael Dell's college dorm room. In 2000 was a different Dell. It's a different Dell.
I think they should bring him back. I think Microsoft should make that a requirement of the investment.
We're getting close to
Dell dude.
Yeah, really. The Dell dude and signature PCs.
Yep.
Right.
So I do like that signature PC idea, though.
I do, too. I've always thought.
Now, Vizio's doing them. I wonder how they're selling. They're beautiful.
Yep.
Their signature, they're a little more expensive. I wonder if that strategy is working for Vizio.
I hope it does.
I hope so, too.
I feel very strongly about signature. I wish more people used it.
This week's X-Surface News. I don't even know what that is. Are we talking about an Xbox Next?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a Surface?
This was kind of hilarious. So... There were a bunch of news stories that went live this week saying the next Xbox is going to be plain old Xbox, no 360, no 720 attached to it. And there are a couple other pieces to this tip too, that it would be presented at E3, blah blah blah. Then the person who created all of this scuttlebutt admitted he just made it all up to see how gullible the tech press was.
Yeah.
And he sent out a ton of tips saying he worked at Microsoft in the gaming department. And hey, I have a tip for you. And he watched to see how many sites ran this without even checking, trying to verify or anything. And there were a lot of them.
Oh, man.
Most of them, yeah. One, I'd say.
There were a lot of them.
Pocket Lint was the first to run 1 hour after saying, "We have made an effort to validate." 2 hours before I got a chance to reply.
That's awesome.
Wow. You know, and then by the next few hours, Yahoo, CNET, Gizmodo, VentureBeat, Tech Digest, VG247.
This is, by the way, the problem I have with the tech news industry right there.
Yeah.
Because people pick up on something as if it were a fact.
Yeah.
You know, and it just runs. And it's not, you know, when I write about something or speak about something on this podcast that I don't know to be true in printed form or written form, I would write report: rumor, you know, this assertion and be very clear what I was saying. People don't do that for some reason. I are we really not that savvy to the fact that not everything you see online is a fact?
There's so much pressure to be first, right? Everybody wants to be first. And a lot of times people will say, yeah, this is a rumor and I didn't even try to check it, but here it is, blah.
It's not merely the pressure of being first. It's the lack of any consequence for being wrong.
Yeah, true.
There is only upside to publishing this. There is no zero. Even now, there's zero downside.
This Dell Microsoft story.
Same thing.
Comes courtesy of sources such as CNBC, Bloomberg, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, which is why I wrote about it.
Yeah, that gives it some credence.
I mean, but I still wrote...
According to,
and then explain that those were the sources. I mean, you know, I've got people, and Mary Jo does too, regularly, who write me and say, here's something that's happening. And, you know, so there are some people I know and trust, and then there's some people I've never heard of. And in the wake of this, a guy who had tipped me off to something, which I have not written about, wrote me back and said, hey, I don't know if you saw this, but this is not what I'm doing to you. And just in case it wasn't clear, I sent you my real name and email address. And, sure enough, he did. But,
you protect your sources also.
Yeah.
Yeah, not physically. I mean, obviously.
If there's a fist fight of some kind, I won't be there. But
I won't use him as a human shield. But
I'll be behind you.
Leo, you probably remember this, but not that long ago, back in the day, when I worked at PC Week, there was a rule. It said, if you can't verify this with three independent sources who are not talking to each other, we're not running it.
Right.
Those days are so
long gone.
I mean, sometimes I'll run something now with two sources.
PC Week anymore.
Well, that's the other problem, right? And guess why, right?
Right. But I mean, now if I get a tip, I'll be like, okay, that's a really interesting tip and very believable, but I'm going to try to verify this with at least two other people before I even think about publishing this.
Especially
if it's someone I don't know.
The fun thing that was on the back page of a magazine.
Right.
I know.
Spencer the Cat, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Like that's what that was. And everyone always enjoyed that stuff.
And you knew it was trash. You knew it was completely not credible. But it was fun, and it was, and the guy was so embarrassed, he didn't use his real name when he wrote his column.
right.
It was Spencer the Cat.
Yeah. Not like that anymore.
No.
Well, and you know
all
what?
All the insane people have taken over the asylum.
I'm just going to point out that you who listen to this show, you get the tech news you deserve. And if there is no consequence to blogs and to publishing this stuff, and if they get millions of links... They're going to keep doing it.
It's a variation of something I say to my kids all the time.
You're getting what you deserve, kid.
You got the family you deserve.
No, but really, if as consumers of tech news, we don't punish, you know, we continue to read these journals and give them all the links, there's no reason for them to stop. They make tons of money on these.
My other one that falls in this category are the analysts who make predictions about the sales of things, you know.
Right.
And I don't have the mentality or the you know, brain disease that would require me to do this. But I occasionally think I should keep track of this thing and see how they're doing, you know, knowing that they're ridiculously off base every single time they say anything. And I, you know, that was one of the decisions I had made very early on, was that I was never going to directly quote analysts, that I would just give you my opinion, you know, that, you know, I don't really often run into people. I do, of course, but I mean, you know, that you read some quote from, you know, Gene Munster or somebody about, you know, sales of iPads in Q3 2015, and it's like, whatever. I mean, what are you talking about? You just pulled this thing out of thin air.
Well, and the thing that, you know, we got to say is he's talking to a different audience. He's talking to an audience of investors.
Yeah, but the problem is he's broadly
Well, they want to get in the media because it's good for business, because then people read the synopsis and then they buy the
report. I don't know if you guys, did you guys see that thing I tweeted first thing this morning? It was an analyst on some show. It was on like a Yahoo site, who was saying, I don't know if anyone buys these Surface things. I've never seen anyone with a Surface.
Yeah.
There, that's research.
What the, like,
I've done my research. God.
It's like, this is a disaster. No one I know has one of these.
So no one has one. That's it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's one that's good crazy. Site if people who are listening, if you don't know about this already, there's a guy, Brad Sams. He works at NeoWin, and in his off hours, he does this site called TracCore, TracCour.com. So he's trying to keep track of how accurate all the reporters are on Tech Rumors.
Okay. So he does have the brain damage that I said I don't have.
This is good.
Yeah, he has an engine. He's created this. He has people submit rumors,
It needs to be done. It does.
So you can actually search in here for, let's search for Surface, and see, and you can see all the different.
Here's an idea. Microsoft is going to announce their earnings sometime in the next 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any predictions?
There you go.
What you think they're going to say. And I don't mean like how much money they made. I mean, how many, you know, how are they going to say how many Surfaces they sold?
By the way,
if so, how many?
Paul, you're all over this thing.
I'm all over this thing?
Yeah. Well, this is good. You should be. And by the way, this isn't complaining about you. It's just saying, here's what Paul Thurrott wrote. Here's expired rumors and active rumors.
It's interesting.
And one of really the is major retail. Well, you wrote it on Twitter. Major retailers to sell Surface starting early next year. That's one of the stories, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can.
It's true. Look, it's true.
You don't have to. He doesn't score them. It looks well. Actually, he does. He has a leaderboard.
Well, he must do it somewhere. Yeah.
Here's the leaderboard.
Yeah, he tracks reporters.
So here's the authors: Mary Jo Foley, 100%.
Yeah, look at that.
One, you beat Kara Swisher. You beat Paul Thurrott. It was 83%.
I think because I make fewer predictions.
You don't make many.
Maybe.
You only have 10 rumors in here. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't make many either.
Yeah. This is good. Top sites, ZDNet, Business Insider,
he's
and
doing
Gadget.
A good job.
Yeah, I like this.
So what do you think, though, about Microsoft earnings?
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's all make a prediction. I say they're not going to say a word on Surface sales. They're not going to say it at all.
I think they're going to say that they sold over 1 million and that they have but that they have seen increased demand and thus went into that the rumor that was on the site was they pushed it out to other retailers faster than they planned to originally because so many people wanted them and couldn't buy them. And so the uptick is going to be faster going forward. And I also think they're not going to provide a sales update on Windows 8, but are rather going to say, earlier this month we announced that we sold whatever the number was, 60 million. Those are my two. Very, very, what's the term? Conservative.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do something for AirCover. I don't know what, but they're going to try to do something to take people's eye off the Windows sales or lack thereof. But I don't know what they can do because that's what everyone's
watching.
They
should bring a magician.
They should.
And now David Copperfield would entertain you.
He's going to make the PC business disappear.
Or announce the Dell thing. Right when the market closes, announce Dell. And then nobody will care about Windows sales, right?
Yeah, you know what?
That's true.
That's a good idea.
That would be amazing.
And by the way, we're buying a $3 billion stake in Dell.
And we're selling our Xbox business to Sony.
Wow!
Which was my favorite rumor this week.
Right? Wasn't it? That was
someone wrote something about that.
They did.
And we're selling Bing to Google.
Yeah.
And we're
going
to really...
My tip of the week involves a book written by a guy who used to work at Microsoft, which is terrible in many ways, but It's also fascinating for anyone who cares about Microsoft and, you know, the history of Microsoft. But one of the things that's in there is he says that Microsoft invested over $10 billion over 10 years in Xbox. Oh. $10 billion.
That sounds about right, actually, right?
I think it's totally right. Yeah.
I do, too, because I had heard $5 to $6 billion on the first one and 3 point something for the second one. And, of course, we know there was a billion-dollar warranty fiasco. That's a lot of money to spend to get 80 million units of something out in the world.
Is that all it is, 80 million units?
At least half of which were sold to the same people.
I have five because I have three red rings.
I have had at least eight through my house, at least eight.
Wow.
That's a low number.
It's not a big number, Leo,
I mean, Apple sold twice as many iPhones in the last 6 months, practically. Yeah. I mean, wow.
And they're more expensive.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that low a number. Well, it's an investment.
It's in that figure. By the way, it could be 89 million. I don't know. That, you know, we look it up on Wikipedia.
It's an investment.
No, at this point, it's something worse than an investment.
Yeah.
Is there a financial term that equates to black hole?
You do say this is going to be somebody. It could be. I won't name names, but somebody says in the show notes you sent me, this is going to be a huge year for Xbox, and it won't. And you'll hear something before June, before E3.
Yeah, I can't say anything, but beyond that, the Microsoft guys had posted a countdown clock for E3.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people think that E3 will be the big.
Larry Herb did, right?
Yeah, that's not it.
That's the David Copperfield move. Look over here.
We're going to make it disappear. I think what they're going to announce at E3 is Connectimals 2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now in HD.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look forward to.
I like this, my friend. You and I both.
Can stick that on that website we were looking at, baby.
Uh-huh. Put that on TrackCooler. Your advice to me, Paul, because I've got a hole in my media center where an Xbox used to be. I got a PlayStation 3. I'm thinking I was going to put a Steam box there, but maybe your advice, wait and see. There might be something
We already know through previous reports that there are going to be multiple devices, for example. We know that. What I'm saying is one of them might fit nicely there.
All righty.
I mean, obviously, the Xbox.
The announcement is going to be before June, but who knows when the product will appear.
It's right.
Right.
There you go.
It's way, way off.
There you go.
Maybe next year, even, you know.
I doubt it.
No, you think of this year, 2013, Christmas 2013?
It would be.
They always do November, right? Yeah. November's the big Xbox.
God, if they ever announce this thing and it comes out next April,
That's bad.
No. Yeah.
Nobody buys game machines in April.
No, it has to be this year. That I don't know, but. It has to be. Just has to be.
Windows Phone news. I love this idea that they may be putting. Nokia has said that the PureView is it, the last Symbian phone, that 808, which was, what is it, the 41 megapixel camera.
Sure.
But I did see a rumor, and I don't know where it came from. So don't
it's everywhere.
Don't put me on TrackCore.
It was The Verge.
That they're going to do a metal Windows Phone with the PureView sensor in it.
The real PureView, not like, because you know they call
Everything's PureView.
Everything's PureView, right? But this is the PureView,
megapixel.
The 41 megapixel, right? That would be
amazing.
I might trade in my Galaxy Note for.
By the way, here's a question you can answer for me. I was at a basketball game the other night. The guy in front of me had a Samsung Galaxy S3, and he was taking photos, which I was also taking photos.
Yeah.
And my 8X, I have an HTC 8X, takes great photos compared to any camera I've ever owned. But man, this guy, his phone, it looked like he was taking SLR photos. I could not believe. He would zoom in on the court. He would take a picture of some action thing. It looked beautiful. Nice, you know, clarity and contrast and everything. And he would send it to somebody. And I was wondering about that. Like, I don't, are these PureView things going to be, how do you improve on the quality that's available today on other phones? I mean, I realize there's a certain number of pixels, but isn't it more than that? I mean,
I have a theory.
Yeah.
We interviewed a guy named Hans-Peter Brodmo, who works at Nokia. he is kind of, he's in charge of kind of making Nokia more like a startup with, they have a Nokia venture, internal venture fund. It's really interesting. And he's also a camera buff. In fact, I met him at that camera show we went to in Norway in, last year.
Is he doing the peer review stuff?
He had a peer review with him. And he says, my big hot thing right now is computational photography. His feeling is, and I think he's absolutely right, that we've kind of reached the megapixel limit and the lens limit, that what we want to do now is get the best image we can into the phone, and we're capable of doing that, or soon will be. And then, because you have a solid computational platform here with, you know, quad-core processors, start using computation. This is what the Lytro is, right? The Lytro, which lets you focus in various planes. It's not doing that physically. It's computational.
What is that thing that the iPhone does where it takes two pictures in a row and then it combines them?
Yeah.
HDR. Sort of that type of thing.
It's that kind of thing. Taken to the next level. So if you think about it, you now are taking, you have this camera as a very powerful computer.
Yeah.
So it does make sense that you want to give it a 40. They don't, generally speaking, the 41 megapixels, you don't, that's the raw form. You don't give out a camera, a 41 megapixel image. But what they'll do is they'll use that to zoom, for instance. Now you can zoom in 41 megapixels.
So you could crop it and have incredible quality.
Exactly.
Wow.
Or they use the extra megapixels for more dynamic range. They have a way to do that also.
Right.
So there's a lot of, so in other words, shoot in effect, shoot the picture three times with in the same shot. They have a lot of stuff they can do.
Yep.
So
I'm eager to see this camera.
I am too. And I think what you'll see is a Nokia camera program that's not the Microsoft camera program that has a lot more capability.
Okay.
Just a thought. But I think that's where we're headed. I think it's where we're headed everywhere. Even Canon, you know, just shipped a new point and shoot. It's as much about the software as anything else. It's very interesting what we're starting to see.
I always want a better camera on my phone.
I think so. You don't want to carry a camera. I don't want to. I spent tens of thousands of dollars on camera gear. I don't want to carry it.
So close.
I don't want to carry my phone.
I've got a friend who wants to buy an iPhone 5 because it has those little lens attachment things. And I was like, listen, please get an iPhone 5. But you know, if you're going to do that, just carry a camera. Yeah. Even like a little SLR camera or a point and click camera would be right, better. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing I'm really missing in camera phones is quality zoom, because it's digital zoom.
Yep.
If they were some way to zoom, give you good quality zoom on a camera, a phone.
Yep.
I'm done.
Well, I'll tell you though, this guy was zooming in on the court, and I was really blown away just looking over shoulder at it. I mean, you could tell, because I was taking pictures of the same thing, and I'm looking like,
the same Sony sensor Apple uses in the iPhone.
Okay.
On the Galaxy.
It is S3. The Note 2 has the same cameras.
It's an 8-megapixel sensor. As far as I know, it's the same one Sony sells to all three companies.
Notably stunning.
Or all three phones. And and I think it really comes down to software at that point. Nobody's going to have optical zoom because it makes the phone too fat. That's one of the weird things about the PureView 808. It's a fat phone.
Yeah.
They've got to get that sensor skinny.
That's the way they always used to be. Remember, there's always the bump for the camera.
Right. Right. Nokia Drive Plus is coming to Windows Phone 8. Nokia has a very good map system. It's what Bing uses.
Yep. This is actually my pick, so let's skip over this.
Okay, skip. Update to the Windows Phone SDK for Windows Phone 7.8. That means
Windows Phone 7.8 is the resizable live tiles and the choice of themes that people who have the existing Windows phones are going to get to make them look more like a Windows Phone 8.
Isn't that nice?
But, they talked about this. It is nice, but they talked about it last June for the first time, I believe, and people don't have it still. And I think a lot of people are frustrated why this hasn't come out yet. But supposedly maybe by January 31... it could maybe start rolling out to users. It'll take a while.
Where does that rumor come from? How do we know this?
The January 31? I think that's WP Central. I believe that's who had that date. Microsoft's just saying Q1.
Customer service rep at one of the wireless carriers?
Microsoft's saying Q1. So it's not completely without any.
Obviously, the SDK release suggests soon.
Yes.
Cool. They're coming to get you.
Yep, they're coming.
And Verizon has got an Ativ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of a disappointing.
You don't sound too happy about that. What is, does Verizon have the HTC? They don't have that yet.
They do.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they do. So they have the 8X.
That's the one.
And they
get.
Have the Lumia 822.
Oh.
And now, so this is the lower end Ativ. This is the like mid-range phone. It wasn't the really nicer one that we saw at the Windows Phone launch. That one never came to the U.S., I don't think, at all.
Still not in the U.S., yeah.
Definitely not to Verizon.
Mm. Not to anyone. It's just not here.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't understand the point of this phone because Verizon sells a mid-level phone, the 822, which is great. And by the way, there's a new red version they just released also this week, which looks really nice. But the Nokia Lumia 822 comes with Nokia's apps, which is a prime benefit of getting such a device. The Samsung Ativ Odyssey does not, and I just don't see anything going on there. It's, you know, the old resolution, 5-megapixel camera.
I
see no reason for this.
Samsung has such a commitment to Android that they just can't care that much about Windows Phone. They're doing so well with Android.
Right.
And they even released information that they're going to do their own operating system, a Linux-based operating system. What was it called? Tensity or something? So it just seems to me like Windows Phone.
I was just thinking we needed another mobile operating system.
I know.
It's like we've seen such great success. It's like, you know, Windows has done so well, we thought we'd make another operating system.
Yeah.
You know,
Nokia,
it's crazy.
Nokia is going to end up being the Windows Phone company, I think. They, besides the fact that Microsoft's invested them, they're selling quite a few.
Either that or the smallest freaking part of the Microsoft empire.
that's still alive, huh?
Yeah.
Tizen, that's the name of it. Thank you, Web6321.
Oh, yeah.
Tizen. 13.4 million Windows Phone handsets sold in 2012, according to Nokia.
That was buried way in there, by the way.
Yeah.
I was looking over their little press release thing, you know, the fact sheet, which is like 87 pages long. And ran across this, like, seriously, like 29 pages into it or something. 13.4 million Windows Phone handsets in 2012, which is, you know, not bad. 4.4 million in Q4, but 700,000 in North America.
Wow.
Up from 500,000 a year ago in the same quarter. But they're not selling a lot of these things here is what I'm thinking. I mean, that's a small number.
So where are they selling them? Where do you think Windows
Europe,
Phone?
Europe, Asia, and the Middle East and Africa.
And it's probably the lower end 800s, right?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, the thing is, off the top of my head, because I'm not looking at the data right now, I believe that the size, and I should say, Nokia's smart devices include the S40 product.
Right.
Old Symbian product.
Yeah.
Which is going downhill fast.
It's gone. No, that was the point, was the PureView 808 is the last Symbian.
Yeah, so they don't sell those in the U.S. So the 700 figure is North America, but those are all Lumias. That's the only thing they sell here.
Yeah.
The numbers for other parts of the world could include Symbian devices too. But still, roughly speaking, if I'm not mistaken, the market for Lumia phones in Europe is approximately 20 times bigger than the one in North America. That's the disparity.
Sins of the fathers.
You know what else also had this kind of sales disparity, Leo?
What?
The Amiga.
So
the
well
Amiga
in Europe,
was
did it?
Huge
yeah.
in Europe.
Yeah.
And that worked out great, so I don't see any problems.
I believe it's the sins of the fathers. I think it goes back to it's Nokia's lack of presence in the U.S. goes back to their decision many moons ago, not to do deals
phones.
With American carriers.
But they're on everything. I mean, almost everything. I mean, they're not on Sprint yet, is it? Or team?
They are
Sprint,
now.
But they will be.
But the damage to the brand was done over the many years that you couldn't buy a Nokia phone at the phone company's store.
Yeah, I think the other mistake they're making is not putting their flagship phone on everything.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
So they put the 900.
They're so stuck to AT&T, right? They're indebted to them, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad.
You gotta have those carrier relationships. Apple didn't want to, but they did, and they had to, and it was.
Well, it was a different market then, though, right? I mean, this is not 1997 or whatever that was.
Yeah, I bought a lot of Nokia unlocked.
1997. What did they say? 2007. Sorry, living in the past.
What year is this?
You steampunk laptop ripped me off.
So, what When is Microsize? 1 o'clock?
It's going to be within 15 minutes.
So, of course, we won't be on the air.
Well, we could be.
Well, I'll just drag this show out.
Yeah. Apple, let me talk about netbooks a little bit. I can make this work.
Yes.
No!
They're back, baby.
Damn it.
Not again.
There he goes again.
But we did.
Hey, I heard from someone from Microsoft, by the way, who said that thing you said about netbooks, exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah.
Let me just reiterate it in case you didn't hear it last time.
Since he's right. Time to say it again.
Mary Jo's going to go into a beer coma.
Yeah.
I am.
Well, we'll watch for the results.
In the meantime,
right now I'm sitting and looking at you. Next Thursday, I will not be sitting and looking at you. I'll be looking at this.
Nice. Oh, is this your, like, seat view?
Seat view.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, here's something to throw by whoever you're going with. Is it Lisa?
Lisa, of course. I don't even know what a quarterback is.
So rather than try to change your seats.
Yes.
This is what I would say.
No, we already did.
Oh.
Now on the Niners side.
Never mind.
Why? What did you say? What did you want to say?
Think about it. You're in a stadium.
Nobody cares. I agree.
You're looking out at this vista view you've got. And if all of the fans for your team were on the other side of the stadium, that is what you would be looking at. And that might not be such a bad way to enjoy the game.
A sea of gold and red.
Right.
Yes.
That's all.
I think her point, and I think she's right, is when you go to a game like the Super Bowl where 90% of the people are there because their clients and not because they care about football, that you want to sit with at least a group of people who do care. You know, so that, in fact, it's fun. Ben Ha of I Can Has Cheeseburgers also going. He had the same reaction. He said, I know it's not going to be loud in the stadium, so at least if I sit with some Niners fans, we can all cheer. When you watch the game, there'll be this tiny pocket of people going, that's us.
I would be shocked if I was able to pick you out in the crowd, but I'll give it a go.
You may be surprised. Look for a guy half gold, half red. I'm going to paint right down the middle of my face, and I think Lisa's going to shave 49 in the back of my hair.
Wow. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I will be wearing my rainbow union suit, but otherwise I shouldn't stand out too much.
Just to be clear that you're from San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
I'll tell you, New Orleans, you're not going to stand out.
I know.
Even with that.
And the Boo-Boo-Zayla. Right. Don't forget that.
The only man in the entire Superdome.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak it in. I have a collapsible Boo-Boo-Zayla. We are going to take a break, come back with your suggestions, your pick of the week, your software, a very lovely code name of the week, and a beer of the week, too, as we continue with Mary Jo's 40 Beers in 30 Days Challenge. We're kind of almost to the end. You got just another week or so left.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was saying is I won't be here next week. Iaz will be filling in, just so you know.
Yeah. Right.
So he will find out what the final beers are. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Audible.com. Paul and I have been big Audible fans for the longest time. We are just smitten by the idea of having somebody read to us. Just like my mommy did when I was little. I won't include you in this, Paul, but I admit that's probably, you know, a little bit of that is just I like being read to. It's also the issue is I spend a lot of time in the car. A lot of time at the gym, a lot of time places where I can't hold a book, but I would like to get some reading done. And Audible is so great for getting reading done. In fact, it really brought me back to literature. A lot of history. Paul and I love the World War II stuff. We've been listening to a lot of history. You're probably listening to Terry Francona, the Red Sox years.
I am.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I wish they had Francona reading it.
I do too. Although, by the way, here's a little fact for you.
Yeah.
Scroll down the page and look at what else that narrator has done.
Well, let's see. Jeff Garner. Oh, I like Jeff Garner.
Well, no, it's on that page.
He did Freedom, Kill, Decision, and Demon.
All the Daniel Juarez books.
Yeah. I mean, that's him. I want to point this out at Audible because what happens is you get these great narrators. I mean, they're so good. And then you become a fan not only of the book, but of the guy or gal reading it. And people literally buy books because Jeff Garner's reading it, and I totally understand that. There's Jeff's not my favorite. He has a young voice. No, he has a kind of
You're
a
like
young...
an audible snob.
I am. I'm an audible snob. I like the old voice. You know, my favorite is the guy who does the Patrick O'Brien novels. And actually, they have a couple of different. His name is Tull. I think it's Patrick. Is it Patrick Tull? Yeah. And get the so if you're going to get the Aubrey Matron series, but you've never read these, you really ought to. This is Patrick Tull. He's an older guy with a kind of a gravelly voice, and I know for some people they wouldn't like this, but boy, it grows on you.
Kinder or more helpful, Patrick O'Brien.
All right,
he's kind of talks.
And now,
actually,
Master
that's not him. This is another one of my favorite narrators. Not Patrick Tull. Here comes Patrick
Chapter
Tull.
Chapter one.
That's him.
The music room in the governor's house at Port Mahon, a tall, handsome, pillared octagon.
Now picture
was
yourself.
Filled with the triumphant first movement.
Don't you feel like you're, I mean, I feel like I'm sitting in front of a fireplace with a snifter of brandy listening to a great book. Probably I'm in the
if you
Toyota.
Look at the Ken Auletta book, World War 3.0, which is probably a pick of mine from 200 years ago.
Yeah.
The guy who does the reading of that to me is like ultimate business book audio voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a certain style.
Yeah, I've actually been listening to this one recently, although this too is not actually my pick. But
World War III, actually, I listened to myself. I loved that.
Yeah.
It's about media.
It seems so irrelevant today.
I know.
You know, in a way.
I know. Ken Auletta is one of my favorite writers about
definitely.
Media.
Definitely. I wish he wrote more about the computer industry, to be honest.
He's kind of gotten out of it. Now he's like Mr. Media guy.
Wrote a book about AT&T, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
I think the last one.
Google. The DOJ trial he did, too.
Did he?
The Microsoft one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
really,
that's what World War 3.0 is.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Wow. So,
yeah. That's an old. I mean, it's 10 years old or more.
Yeah, that's old.
Oh, he wrote a Googled book too. Yeah, Googled.
So the guy Googled. Yeah. So the guy Robert O'Keefe. This is what he sounds like. Who narrated World.
October 19th, 1998.
Yeah.
David Boies entered the E. Barrett Prettyman United States Courthouse for the District of Columbia.
That's a name I don't hear enough these days. David
Whatever
Boies.
Happened to David Boies?
Oh, he's still kicking around. He was.
He's a lobbyist now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was on. He's actually on Microsoft's side in one of their U.S.-based patents trials,
funny?
If I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yep. Anyway, the deal
might
with
have been
Audible
against going up against Barnes and Noble, was that him?
Yes, I think you're right.
Might have been part of Microsoft's team for Barnes and Noble.
I think
you're
right. He was. See, these lawyers, they're like football players. They switch teams.
I was going to say like cockroaches, but yes,
or cockroaches.
You can stamp them with your foot all you want, but they're going to keep coming up.
You know
on
what the difference is between a porcupine and a car full of lawyers, right? If I told you the punchline, we would be off the air.
Uh-oh.
I'll let you think about that a little bit.
The pricks?
Yeah. All the pricks are in the inside. Audible is so proud to be sponsoring the Dirty Joke of the Week.
Yes, exactly. Dirty Joke of the Week.
Audible.com/windows. Go there. You can get a book for free. You'll be getting the gold plan. That's a book a month. Your first month's free. Your first book is free. Cancel at any time, but the book's yours to keep forever. What are you listening to today?
I do have a pick. So I've been on this weird kick lately. This is so off for me, but I was talking about graphic novels with a friend of mine, and I had read some graphic novels like, you know, Batman, The Dark Knight Returns or whatever it was, you know, 20 years ago or more, whatever, 25 years ago. I don't really read graphic novels anymore, but after talking to this guy, and I'm a fan of the Walking Dead TV series, I started reading the graphic novels.
Oh, that's supposed to be really good.
It's really good. It gets repetitive after a while, and it diverges from the TV show in ways that I actually find rather fascinating. So addicted is the wrong word, but I've read like 20 of these things in just a couple of weeks. But I'm kind of very interested in how the stories diverge. And so if you're watching the TV show, you know that they're in a lull for the show, and it's coming back in February. So I've kind of gone past that, and I know where the story goes with the book. I'm interested to see how they do this. But the creator of the series has a book. Microsoft's earnings are up, by the way.
Yes, I have it. I'll pull it up and we'll talk about it in a second.
Anyway, so the guy who did this wrote a book called The Walking Dead, The Road to Woodbury, which deals with the major plot development that's occurring now on the TV show, which is already resolved in the book. So it's sort of a side story or prelude to The Walking Dead. with some of the characters who entered into the most recent season. And so it's actually pretty great. I intend to move off of The Walking Dead after this, but it's good. So anyway, let's move on to Microsoft thing, shall we?
Our pick, audible.com/windows. Go there and get it free. I think you're going to like it. Paul and I are big fans, and I know once you listen to that first book, you will be just as addicted as we are. Microsoft Investor Relations, earnings release, fiscal year 2013, two quarter. What are the, I'll let you scan the highlights. Looks like revenue, $21.5
billion. $21.5 billion in revenue, but that's for the
quarter.
Yeah, for the quarter.
December 31st, operating income, net income, and diluted earnings per share for the quarter, $7.77 billion, $6.38 billion, 76 cents per share.
But
it's all the deferred programs kicking in, right?
Yeah.
Windows division, $5.88 billion in revenue. That's a 24% increase.
Year over year.
Because of the deferring program.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, non-GAAP revenue increased 11% for the second quarter. 60 million Windows 8 licenses.
Which is the number from before.
So 20 million a month. Clockwork.
Yeah. Nothing on Surface, right?
Nothing.
That's what
surface.
I'm curious. No, so they didn't say anything? Surface.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they just mentioned it in passing.
Entertainment and devices, $3.77 billion revenue, a decrease of 11%.
Obviously, they're going to have a conference call. Probably are having it. Well, actually, it's not yet.
Hey, here's a huge one. The online services reported a 11% increase in revenue. Online advertising grew 15%, but they still lost money.
They lost less.
They lost less. Yay.
Increased revenue.
Yeah, their call
research.
Is at 5:30, so we can't. Get all the
That's when the details will happen. Yeah.
So someone will ask them about Surface, and I'm just curious to see how they respond to that.
They'll say we're not talking about it.
We're very happy. Forward-looking statements.
One interesting thing, though, in Windows, they're calling out enterprise sales. So that, means Windows 7 and what they call enterprise agreements, like volume licensing agreements, not Windows 8 so much.
Right.
Good. Well, I'm glad that we stalled so long on this show.
I know.
Because we got that in.
We often just miss it, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
This is second quarter in a row we'd like to report that we have managed to get the earnings in at the tail end of the show.
It's not clear if this is a huge
That's year over year accomplishment increase on our part. 50%. Tip of the week, Paul, a new insider book about Microsoft. Is it good?
No, it's terrible. It's not actually new either. I became aware of this because the author of this, Joachim Kempen, whose name is familiar to me, and I was curious. I didn't know more about the guy. It's because he left Microsoft over 10 years ago.
Oh, come on.
He's been talking a lot about Steve Ballmer with the press lately. And the book has been promoted as his new book, which would be like why he is out and talking, apparently. But actually, the book came out apparently in October. I just wasn't aware of it. So I guess the way I would say this to you is, if you care about Microsoft and the history of Microsoft and that kind of stuff, this is obviously interesting because this guy worked at Microsoft. He has a lot of very interesting perspectives. The book is it desperately needs to be edited, and it's written in a very raw style. It's got kind of a self-published kind of quality to it. It's still really interesting because of what it's about and the things that he discusses. So very interesting. It would have been way more interesting if it had dealt with the subsequent decade to me, because I've already read enough about this period. Yeah. There are many, many books about the 1990s and early 2000s, including, by the way, that Ken Auletta book, which is fantastic, but still interesting. And so he talks about such things as, you know, how Steve Ballmer came to power at Microsoft and the way he kicked aside people. And there's some interesting things you can draw comparisons to stuff that happened later on, including possibly the exit of Steven Sinofsky, where he apparently has recognized people that could be a potential successor, and then he maneuvers them out of the company.
Can I say something about this pick?
Yeah, please do.
So this guy who wrote this book is probably the main reason that Microsoft was dragged into the Department of Justice trial. He ran the OEM division. Guy. Yeah, he was the one who basically got them in huge hot water with the DOJ. And he was canned, basically, in 2002. So I would take a lot of what he says about everything, pretty much, with a
absolutely
few million grains of salt.
Yep. No, it's salt is an interesting word because the book is almost salty in the sense that it's really. I don't know if you guys know the guy that used to run Commodore and then went to Atari, Jack Tramiel, who's gone, you know, is dead now, unfortunately. If that guy had ever written a book,
it'd be salty.
I would have expected it to read exactly like this. He clearly has
a chip.
Axes to grind. He speaks in very plain language, like really plain language. It's bizarre. I mean, it's the type of thing, like, you know, when you get like a relative of yours gets older and then they just start talking and they'll say anything and you just kind of look at each other and say, yeah, you know, Uncle Johnny.
He's just talking.
That's to this guy, Uncle Joachim.
Whatever. I love his name. The name of the book is such a Germanic name. Resolve und Fortitude.
Right. Exactly. Just, that's what I mean by the Jack Tramiel thing. It's just
Resolve and Fortitude.
It's got that. It just sounds like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
The book is nuts. I'm very being very clear. It's not a great book, but if you do care about this stuff, you kind of have to read it. It's like, it's just he was there. I mean, and Mary Jo's right. He certainly. This was the guy. So the primary point of the DOJ trial was that IE bundling thing, and ultimately, after years and years of courtroom and trial and all this stuff, that was actually thrown out, and the DOJ actually lost on that most crucial of points. But the thing that did happen as a result of all this is that Microsoft had to provide their PC maker partners with the same exact licensing for Windows. And he was the guy who had orchestrated completely different licensing deals with all the companies. Right. And he has some examples where, because, you know, say, I don't remember the companies, but maybe Gateway and Compaq at one time were going to combine. And so as part of due diligence, you get to see the contracts that they have with other companies. And Compaq found out that Gateway was paying way less for Windows than they were. And they came running back to Microsoft like, what the hell is this? You know, and they demanded to get the same deal. And like, this was the thing that they had done. It was just basically backroom. If you were a good negotiator, you could get a great price. And if you weren't, you got screwed. And that's, you know, one of the things that happened to IBM. IBM got screwed by Microsoft pretty bad in the 1990s. But anyway, it is fascinating. And Mary Jo's right. The guy's a jerk. But but that's part of the reason why it's fascinating.
He's Microsoft's secret power broker.
I love how that's
guess where that title came from.
What?
It's from an article I wrote about him.
No.
That's great.
In what year did I write that? 2007, I think, or no, way earlier, like 1998. I wrote about him because nobody really knew who he was at the time, and I wrote a story called "Meet Microsoft's Secret Power Broker." Yeah. And it was about him.
That's hysterical.
He clearly
loved
it.
Did you write it all in caps as he does?
I did not. And not with a German accent.
Knowing Mary Jo,
I
have to say no.
I am the secret power broker. You will resolve with fortitude.
Exactly. It's yes. Like, right.
Wow.
Resolution through fortitude.
Wow. I'm sure in German
that's
that title
be a German
means
manifesto
something.
Somewhere.
That's got to be. It's something. It's it's probably one word.
It was a sign on a prison camp, something like that.
Resolve will make you free. Your software pick of the week. You kind of alluded. I accidentally tipped it off here.
I had something else in here originally, but I just feel like this is such a big deal, and it really is. Nokia Drive Plus Beta for Windows Phone 8. This is the thing that Nokia had promised last summer, that they were going to bring their turn-by-turn navigation to all Windows Phone 8 handsets. And then, of course, when Windows Phone 8 came out, we all wondered where it was. And so now it's out in beta. It's absolutely fantastic. We used this last summer when we were in Europe and actually used it over the GPS that people had in their car. It was just, we just liked it so much better. And you know, unfortunately, if you buy like an HTC phone or a Samsung phone, normally you don't get any turn-by-turn navigation. And in that sense, Windows Phone 8 is the only major smartphone platform that doesn't offer this functionality for free with the phone. But now everyone can get this. And this is an absolutely first-class turn-by-turn solution.
Boy,
so
I got a feel for Magellan, Garmin, all those companies that used to make standalone GPS devices.
I got so tired of waiting for this. I actually just bought Navigon.
Yeah.
That software is usually very expensive, and you buy it region by region. So I bought like the North America version, I think it's normally $60 or $70, but I paid $29. It was on sale over Christmas. But yeah, this one's free, and it's actually better too. So good. I'm really, really, really happy this is out.
Excellent. Our enterprise pick of the week from Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. This week, Microsoft started rolling out the latest version of their Dynamics CRM online service, and also the comparable on-premises application. So this was something they actually started giving privately to customers back in December of last year, but now it's going to anyone who's a subscriber of CRM, Microsoft CRM. And what's interesting, most interesting, I'd say, about this release is it adds Office 2013 support. It adds some new Bing integration, but it also adds support for different kinds of browsers on Macs and PCs. So you have a choice now of accessing your CRM application from Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, obviously, or Safari on PCs and Macs. And you're going to also be able to do this from Safari on the iPad by February. So if you're somebody who is a multi-device, mobile multi-device shop, you're going to care and really want to get this new version pushed out to your users very quickly.
Cool. Our code name pick of the week comes to us from the border of Argentina and Brazil.
Yes. And do you know how to pronounce this, Leo, Iguazu. Correctly?
I've actually, yeah, it's a beautiful.
Have you been there?
No, I went to Buenos Aires. It was an option and I didn't go, but talked to a lot of people who went who said you missed the best part of the cruise. Yeah. It's supposed to be dramatic.
It looks unbelievable in the pictures. It looks like Niagara Falls on steroids, pretty much, right?
Oh yeah. Huge.
Yeah, so Iguazu is the code name for a new piece of Windows Azure that Microsoft is previewing this week. It's the Notification Hubs piece of Windows Azure. And so I don't know why Notification Hubs it has anything to do with Brazil or Lee's Falls. I was trying to think of a connection. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you what Notification Hubs are. They give developers a way to build more scalable cross-platform push notification services. So they already support with this beta. They're supporting Windows 8 and iOS apps, and they're going to be adding Android and Windows Phone support very soon. And it lets you do all the things that you want to do if you're pushing notifications out to different mobile platforms, like pub/sub routing, tag-based multicast, and a lot of other features. And you can get this for free right now in preview form if you go to Scott Guthrie's blog, Scott Goo, man of the red shirt. You will find this.
I love your beer pick of the week.
I could not resist this one. This is such a great name. Beer pick of the week is Cuvée des Trolls, because who doesn't need more trolls in their
trolls.
Life?
Trolls. As long as you don't actually encounter them in real life, they're a good thing.
We have them like in our comments.
Cave of Trolls.
Cuvée, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Cuvée des Trolls is a Belgian strong pale ale from the Brasserie du Buisson Frère. A very interesting brewery in Belgium, I believe. And I just tried it yesterday, in fact, as part of my beer challenge, and it was excellent. Yeah,
Mary
only 7%.
If you come to Europe next summer, you could go here.
It just would be so awesome. Have you been there? No?
No, but I'm going to Belgium.
Are you going to Belgium?
Oh, you're going to Amsterdam, but we're going to spend a lot of time in Belgium, too.
Oh, you're a wise man. I know. I hear it's wonderful.
It sounds awesome. Brussels, it was really
boring.
Delicious.
Go to Bruges and... I don't know where this, where in Belgium this is.
Yeah, I don't know where in Belgium this is, but the beer was excellent. It was very light and citrusy, but also a little bready. So if you're into Belgians, I think you would really enjoy this. Easy drinking Belgian.
So Luz Pipai, Belgium. Don't know where that is, but that's where it is.
Yep. So I have, as of today, 11 beers left to do by the 30th.
Oh, you're good. Almost.
Good.
You're almost.
Yes, that's like two a day, though.
All right. Right after this, you know where I'm going to be.
Two beers a day. She can do that. Now, but these are full pints.
Yeah, depending on the style, different sizes.
Okay. I'm actually going to the Yard House right after this, so I could potentially drink 11 beers just today.
You could.
Yard House. Yeah, where they have yard-long beer glasses.
I didn't say it like that, did I?
No. I wish you had. I wish you had.
I'm not drunk yet.
I got to work on my... You do get a little Boston-y. Not when you're drunk, just sometimes when you're tired.
Tired, yeah. Drunk, or sick.
Sick, whatever.
You sound wicked good. That's all I can say. Thank you so much, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, once again, for a great show all about Microsoft. You had my finger hovering over that button on the Carbon X1. Right on that button.
That's a beautiful, beautiful machine.
I came into this
screen
show.
Screen doesn't come off, though.
I came into the show unhappy, disappointed with Windows 8. I came out of it, as always, once again, bullish on the future of Microsoft.
Wow.
You guys
That's
are
like
good.
My, side, my really? Side job is to occasionally prop up Leo.
You guys are good. We do this show every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live. You can be part of the chat room fun. One of these days, I know Paul really wants to do it. We're going to take questions from the chat room. Let's say next week. We will definitely do it.
We'll do it with Iaz.
Yeah, because he's better than me in every way.
Aw.
Not in every way, just in,
in the ways that matter. Paul is at the Super Site for Windows, winsupersite.com, where he posts frequently because he is a blogger, with all in caps. He is
the secret
power blogger.
Yep.
So is Mary Jo Foley
for the all caps thing.
Secret power blogger. Mary Jo Foley at allaboutmicrosoft.com, part of the ZDNet family. Always a pleasure I actually really enjoy doing this show, so thank you. Especially when I can get into SkyDrive. It just makes my day. If you don't get to see it live, don't worry. Because we make audio and video available after the fact on demand at twit.tv and wherever you get your podcasts. Including that great Bringcast. A lot of people are using that Bringcast. They like the Bringcast. Bring it on. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Actually, I won't. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I, as Hector, will be back next week with Windows Weekly.
I just found out about the code name, Iguazu.
Yes.
It's the falls because it's connections and torrents of broadcast notifications.
There you are.
Connections and torrents?
A broadcast.
Falls, yeah. Like torrents.
Yeah.
Broadcast notifications.
Yeah.
All right, I guess.
That's it. That's the ticket.